The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
This is where you really have to trust the heart of God toward you and know that He loves you, that every choice He makes in your behalf is for you and never against you, that He's looking to bring you your big yes. But here's the thing, He allows us to know what it's like to get on the edge of destruction so that we will know the joy of deliverance.
Learning to Dance in the Desert, next on Life Today, as Beth Moore spends Wednesdays in the Word.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Wednesdays in the Word. And Beth Moore is the one that has been a part of this ever since we started doing the Bible teachings on Wednesdays. And really and truly, Betty, I was impressed that, I think T.D. Jakes said something that was really, really important. Is sitting right over here some time ago. He said, I really believe that God is going to use women in a very, very special way in this age to do what happened when Mary ministered to Jesus and, really dressed Him basically and cared for Him, that women today are going to help the church get dressed up in the glory of Jesus. And Beth Moore is certainly one of those. There are many that are. And Beth has said, let's have other anointed women that are available, like Christine Kane or Lisa Bevere or others, that just let them teach on Wednesdays too, because it's helped her so much. But here's Beth. And Beth is talking about the wonderful time when the children of Israel were set free and they danced in the desert and the praise and worship. I'm anxious to hear Beth teach this. Would you welcome Beth Moore? Here she is, Beth Moore.
So I want to take you to Exodus 14 and read to you 10 through 16. Now, the 10 plagues have come. They have left Egypt, gone out into the wilderness to worship their God as God commanded them to through the servant Moses. Only Pharaoh and his army have now changed their minds about whether or not they should let the Israelites leave. After all, they were their slave workers. They were their labor force. They needed them, and they needed them oppressed and held under their thumb. So they're going to come back after them again while they are approaching an impasse of water. So at verse 10, Exodus 14, verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? I mean, was there no place to bury us there? Did you just bring us out here to kill us? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians. This is the perfect time for it. We told you. We told you we didn't want to go because something like this was going to happen. And they say, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. This is so powerful. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Look at this again in 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now, this is so powerful because they're doing all this grumbling, all this complaining. So the Lord speaks to Moses that they are to send, go to the edge of that sea. There they all freak out because here comes the army behind them. They can't go forward. They can't go back. They are hemmed in. They are pressed in, and they are claustrophobic with the enemy right on their back. And it's interesting interesting because Moses just speaks up and says, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord. And let me tell you something. We quote this verse all the time. I hear it all the time, and I love it. I love it. There are many places where it goes exactly like this. Stand still. You do not have to fight this battle. The Lord will fight this battle for you. Very, very biblical. Very, very biblical. But it was not the will of God in this instance. What Moses told them to do, God was not telling them to do. It was gorgeous, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, only it wasn't God's instructions. Watch what happens next, because this is very interesting. Verse 15, you got to go from 14 to 15. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Verse 16, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. Now listen to this, because the Israelites who were filled with fear said, let's go back. Moses said, let's stand still. God said, I did not tell you to stand still. I told you to go forward. I told you to go forward. I don't know of many lessons that we need to hear more loudly, with more volume in our lives when we are on the edge of an impasse than God saying over us, I did not say stand still, I said go forward. Go forward. What is it? We're just standing still over. We think this is the will of God. This is the will of God. Is it? I mean, find out. Ask Him. Know what the will of God is. He'll tell you. You'll sense it. You'll see it in His Word. But there are times when He's saying, you know what? What I need you to do is go forward. Go forward. Some of us are stuck on the same subject for 15 years. I mean, we've been spending 10 years trying to forgive a spouse for something. I mean, like, when does it become time to go forward? Are we just going to stay there and just keep telling God how bad somebody's been to us? Just stand still. Just stand there. Go get them, Lord. Go get them. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to do the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Go kill them. Go get them by the neck. I'm going to stand right here. And God's just going, you know what I need you to do, really? Because you're never going to get into your land of promise like this. I really, really need you to go forward. We're going to stay stuck right there. Really? Really? We're going to just stay stuck right there, or are we going forward? Now, I've got to tell you something. I've noticed something about people. I've told my daughters this. I don't know if I can say it well, but I have noticed that people that have a lot of the Spirit of God in them and on them, and we all have received the Spirit of Christ who have received Christ as Savior. But I have noticed something. I have noticed that people who are really full of the Holy Spirit age a whole lot better than those who are not. I mean, it's even on their face. I'm sorry. It's even on their face. But there's something about it. There's something about it. Pharisees do not age as well as people kind of flaming with the Holy Ghost. You might know what I'm talking about. And you know, at my age, I'm kind of looking for who's aging well. And I love finding somebody about 80 years old that's got it going on. Got it going on. And you know why she does? You know why he does? You know why some people keep it to the end? Because they'll keep going forward. They'll keep going forward. Some of us, we're just like, we're going to stay right here. We've kind of got our groove. That's what God's called us to do. We've been doing the same thing, the same way in ministry for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And we're just as dry as a bone. And God's saying, who is full enough with my Spirit to hear me still say when they are 85, 75, 65, 55, 35, 25, 45, 15, go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Who still has it in them to go forward? You know, I just love where it takes us then. If you see verse 19 of that same chapter where it says, then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, and he got in between them and their enemy. It's such a crazy thing. When he says, go forward, anybody chasing our tail is going to have the glory of God fall right in between us. anybody's going to fall into confusion. It is such a glorious thing. Now go with me to chapter 15, because chapter 15 happens as a praise after this huge miracle has taken place. Now, let me say something to you. Not everybody likes to journal. I like words. I love the feel of a pen in my hand. I only use a certain kind of pen because I want that pen to roll just right on a page. I'm obsessed with a pen. So I do a lot of journaling. But let me tell you, there's something important about when you're kind of at a peak of a miracle that God has done. God has dramatically performed something in your life. Get down how you feel about it. Get down so that you can look back at it and you can know this. I experienced this with him. That is your record. That's your record. So glory to God. He had it where they would come through the sea and that Moses would get to the other side and he would take up a writing instrument and he would write these words down. Now I'm going to read, it's quite long, so I'm going to read about 1 through 13 with you, the song of Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. So it would have a tune with it. It had a beat to it. They would have been taught it so that they could sing it. So they're doing a little bit of going back and forth in an echo so that they can learn it. And it says this, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, he is thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. I love that because it's like when God does something mighty that people wouldn't have even believed he could do, you just go, that is my God. That is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a pile. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, this is so interesting, stay with me here. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Keep that in mind. You blew with your wind and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Listen, this is a verse just crying to be memorized. This is what to say when God's done something glorious, or when you need to remember that he can. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I drew your attention to verse 9 because I think, now, I'm not finding this anywhere, so this is the kind of thing I don't want you to take down because there's a very big chance I'm wrong about this. Very big. So it's not really ink. Just think through for a moment because I do believe that all sorts of plays on words happen all over Scripture. We know for a fact that they do. We're just not sure this is one of them. But there's something about this whole, listen to what the enemy is saying in 9. I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But man, that sounds awfully similar to some words in Exodus 6, 6 and 7. Turn with me there if you would please. We know that whatever God does, the devil or the enemy tries to counterfeit. And it's just like something's going on here. What in the world are all those I wills about? Because I think maybe that is a reaction. I think the enemy is saying back over him what he will do. Listen to God's own words. These four promises are so important to the Jews, even today, that four cups are named for them on the Passover table. That's how important these four I will statements are from God. Exodus 6, verse 6, say therefore to the people of Israel, so he's done this, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Wild, isn't it? So all these I will statements, and we get over here to Exodus 15, verse 9, where the enemy says, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide, I will draw. This is what I will do. And God's going, you know what? I don't believe you will. Actually, no, because my will trumps your will on your best day, enemy. On your very best day, I got more going on with my will than you have got going on with your will. I think maybe you will not. That's what I think. Now, I want you to take down a couple of points with me. The first one is this. When God says, go forward, don't even think about standing still. Now, I want y'all to say it back to me, but I want you to say it with some attitude. Because this has got some attitude. When God says go forward, don't even think about standing still. I mean, just get some attitude into it, if you would, please. Because sometimes we just got to get our smart aleck on. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to just get our angry on. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not standing still when He says go. So say it back to you. When God says
go forward, don't even think about standing still.
We're going forward with Him. The number two is this. Nobody appreciates deliverance like those who have nearly been destroyed. Oh, something about it. Come on now. Come on. Nobody appreciates deliverance like those who've nearly been destroyed. What I'm about to say could be frustrating to some, and I so get it. This is where you really have to trust the heart of God toward you and know that He loves you, that every choice He makes in your behalf is for you and never against you, that He's looking to bring you your big yes. But here's the thing. He allows us to know what it's like to get on the edge of destruction so that we will know the joy of deliverance. Because I just appeal to you that if we always had it just the way we wanted, when would a song of Moses ever come forth from our lips? When would we ever say, if everything always went the way we wanted it to, who is like you, O God? Who in the heavens is like you? We have to be put on the edge of it where we think we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it financially. We're not going to make it mentally. We're about to be destroyed mentally, morally perhaps, physically, whatever it may be. But when have you been where you have been convinced that you could have absolutely been destroyed? Let me tell you, to this day, that is a testimony that could come fresh on your lips. I don't care how long ago it was, because there's something about deliverance coming when you know you were about to know destruction that is like nothing you ever experienced at any other time. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Well, Beth, you're amazing. I just thank you for your availability to the Lord. It's been a joy to share Christ with you. You know, when you were talking about how the children of Israel danced in the desert, I got the glimpses of the children dancing, Betty, when we'd hit a water well, or we'd give them shoes, and they'd dance a happy dance. And here's the thing. I'm holding this little orange bowl that you, viewers, said, please give the children when you give them soup so they have a heat-resistant bowl, don't burn their little fingers. You're so full of love. I mean, I think it's amazing. And we're going to give them food to save their lives and give them nourishment. Do you know something? Many of these little children, they're too weak to dance, even when we give them food. But we're going to get them there. I want you to listen to Tammy Trent. Listen close. I really think you'll hear the Lord.
The things that I've seen, the things that I've gotten to experience have been emotional. There's been some good days and there's been some bad days. my favorite days are when I get to go into a village and serve the children, especially when I get to sit down and feed them a bowl of food that they get every day. And gosh, what an incredible moment that really is, knowing that in that place, in that moment, I'm privileged to be a part of bringing them life through a bowl of food. And then you get in the car the next day and you travel hours to get to a clinic like this, only to sit in a place like this and to watch this precious little girl fight for her life because she doesn't have that one bowl of food every day. Her body's shutting down. She is dying. And I wonder how long she has to live. I think that if she was in a village where there was a feeding program set up, how her life would be so very different. And I've seen the power in just one bowl of food, something so incredibly simple that brings life to so many hundreds of thousands of children. It's hard to watch any child die, knowing that there's something that we can do to help prevent that death.
Oh boy, Tabby, thank you. There's no way that I can convey to you the depth of concern that I have that God would enable me to be able to put on your heart what's on God's heart, what's on the mother's heart, that's their baby. I don't know if your mind and your eyes went quick enough to look at that little line that they just, when she said if they could just have a feeding line, maybe they wouldn't be here, and they wouldn't be. We're going to just kind of freeze frame there. I want you to look at the little boy at the front. I don't know your name, little fella, but I love you. And then the little one peeking around. And then back in the back, the pretty little faces and others peeking. Somebody's child. It's somebody that God loves. Wow, I mean, as much as we love our children, and we have, we lost a child we never thought we would, but you know, you shouldn't have to lose a child to know how precious they are. And I'm going to ask you to do something just incredible today. I just want you to reach out and put God's arms of love around somebody's child. And I want you to keep children from getting where that little girl was, that little child that Tammy was looking at with such love. And I love you, Tammy, for your love. I'm going to ask you today to reach out. And if you had a broken heart, you call. We pray every day. But would you reach out today and dial the number and say, I'm going to feed as many kids as I'm able to. I'm going to save those little babies, those little kids that are in that line. I'm going to be sure when they get up there, they'll have a bowl. It won't be empty. You'll run out of food in that center because I'm going to pay for it. And, you know, $30, $50, or $100 is all it takes to feed three, you know, five or 10 kids. That's not much. 33 kids, 55, 100, 10. God, give us a lot of people who'd say, I'll feed 100. I'll give 1,000 or more. I don't know where you are or what you can do, but I found that people who watch and they kind of look through the eyes of Jesus, they begin to put the hands of Jesus out. And I'm asking today, we've got a tremendous crisis where the drought-stricken areas of Angola, just little kids just dying, hungry. Can you imagine that? These are really poor people. Please dial the number. Take your bank card, make the largest gift you can make, or write a check to Life. But call us and tell us what you're sending. We've got to know. We've got to tell the missionaries it's coming. Open that center there. The money will be there. We'll pay for the food. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org. We've got some beautiful gifts we want to send you. An inspirational devotional guide from our guests on Life Today. The most beautiful large print Bible. I've told them I only want the larger print. You know, a lot of us are getting older. And it's just fabulous. It's an incredible thin line study Bible. The beautiful glass sculpture of the blessing. That's what you are. Just make the best gift you can, would you? Please, please. And if you should call and get a busy, you say, I'm getting through. I'll call until I can help those little children that need to be in the line, that are in the line, and keep them from being in the position that one was that Tammy was weeping over. Would you do that? Thank you for doing it. I believe you will. From the bottom of my heart, I say thank you.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and even some Ebola-threatened areas of Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, $100, or $300 will help feed and care for 3, 5, 10, or 30 children for the next 3 months. With your support and the partnership of others, your gift goes a long way to help save lives. Please call us, write, or go online today and make your gift. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a brand new 31-day devotional featuring inspiration from a variety of special guests of Life Today and an instrumental worship CD to bless you in your quiet times with the Lord. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the NIV Larger Print Leather-Bound Reference Bible. And finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
Life Outreach is feeding hundreds of thousands of children every single day. It's made possible because of your ongoing giving. The truth is, we can't walk away from that. We can't stop giving because in just a matter of weeks, these children could be in this condition. That's how fragile their bodies are. That's how great the need is to continue feeding them. Just go to the phones. Call the number that you see on your screen right now. If you feel like you don't have much to give, I'm telling you now, it's enough. It's enough. And we will do great big things with it, and God will expand it. Go right now to your phones or go online. Make that change today.
I really pray that you'll help us so these children can have a dance in the desert. And a lot of them, that's what it's like, desert. They need food. I want you to experience all things new. You're trying to give children new life and give them food. I'd like you to have this devotional that comes from many of the guests that we've had right here on the program. And then this incredible Bible. It's actually a large print. You know, Betty, I actually told all of our staff and the publishers that bring the Bibles that are really nice, I said, if you keep bringing this tiny print, I'm not giving it away, period. Because, you know, we're older folks, and it just helps. This is beautiful, and you'll be able to read it. So make the gift to help us care for the children. And Betty and I just say thanks. Tell everybody about Wednesdays in the Word, will you? And about Beth Dance in the Desert. Thank all of you for being here.
Revolutionary Guard says, this is your final chance. You say you're Muslim, you go free. You say you're Christian, you will die.
Nagme Abadini, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.